Thank you so much for tuning in to Rochester Speaks. I'm Ray G, here with Missy Full-Smith from Biodance. How are you, Missy?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. I'm really excited to hear all about Biodance. You are the artistic director and choreographer there, correct?
That's right.
So let's start with talking about Biodance. You know, tell me a bit about the company, its story and background. What inspired you to start a nonprofit dance company? All of that.
Okay. Well, I started the company about 18 years ago when I was a dancer in New York City. And I relocated to Rochester in 2004 and got it restarted. So I feel like our new start date is 2006. So we're in our 15th year now. It's something that I've always wanted to do, and it's a practice that I've had for pretty much my whole life, making work and working collaboratively with other multidisciplinary artists and collaborating with the dancers themselves. They're always, contributing creatively to the process. And we love to do work that's on the stage, but also in alternative places, in site-specific venues, outdoors and parks, in all different sorts of places. It's become a lot more interesting to do things in spaces that are a little more unexpected.
Definitely. What are some of those site-specific works that you have done throughout Rochester?
Well, some of the ones that are probably most well-known are three different shows that we made for the Planetarium at Rochester Museum and Science Center. I collaborated with my longtime collaborator, W. Michelle Harris. She's a digital media artist who also teaches at RIT. And we created a space for the four-story dome of the Planetarium, and the dancers were in the space with the audience, behind the dome screen, which we discovered one day in rehearsal could be seen if the work lights come on. And we even had, I wanted to find a way for the dance to also take place above the heads, because that's the way the planetarium is arranged for the audience. And so we had balloons that we manipulated overhead, and like I said, we were behind the screen itself. She would project video and also created digital image that she was mixing live. That's been one of the really fun venues to work with in Rochester.
It sounds like
we did three different shows, and one year we also worked with the lasers, a lot of the capabilities that the planetarium has as well.
That sounds really cool.
And live music, we're always continuing to work with composers and live musicians as well, so.
And you guys have been a part of Fringe Fest, correct?
Yeah, in fact, we've done a show for Fringe every year since its inception. So this past year was the 10th year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, even in the year that it was virtual, we did that as well.
That is great. It just sounds like a lot of creativity goes into everything you guys do.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's what keeps us going, right?
Definitely.
It's a lot of problem solving, especially when we're in a space that's not just a square theater. But yeah, it's also great to be able to work with different kinds of artists and collaborators. We've worked with sculptors, poets, composers, media artists. You know, it's the sky's the limit in many ways. So that's very motivating.
It is very motivating. Now, as you know, we have been in somewhat of a pandemic for the past couple years here. Did that affect how Biodance operates at all?
Absolutely. Well, for a while, we had to be on hiatus. Then we started to rehearse on Zoom, which is not awesome, but possible, and it kept us going a little bit. And then once the weather became a bit better, we started to work outdoors. We created a video out in it was sort of a forgotten sculpture garden in the woods out near the Finger Lakes. So and that's when I worked with a poet and also with Michelle in terms of the processing of the video itself. So it was a bit of a new forum for me to be working in video editing, but it made it possible for us to share the work safely and also to make the work safely because we could be outdoors and separated. And then I also collaborated with a local dancer. Well, his name's Ethan Beckwith Cohen. He went to School of the Arts, and he's now at the University of the Arts in Philadelphia. But for a couple years, we created an outdoor showcase for local artists. So we had the first year we did it in the grass behind the MAG, Memorial Art Gallery. And the second year, this past summer, we did it in a site-specific way where choreographers chose different spots on the lawn and grounds of the Rochester Museum and Science Center, and the audience would follow and see the dances take place. So none of that probably would have happened certainly in the same way if it wasn't for the pandemic. And they were pretty amazing ways to bring the community together. So absolutely. I think we'll continue even if we don't need to, actually.
I think that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
So you, as I mentioned, you are the artistic director and the choreographer for BioDance. What does that entail?
Well, in terms of being artistic director, it's about making decisions about what our programming will be and what our projects will be. Sometimes we get invitations. So right now we're preparing for a show at the Eastman Theater, Kodak Hall, in March. And Cordancia Chamber Orchestra invited us to create some work with them. And it's the second time we'll be collaborating with them. And this time we have a premiere that we'll be doing with composer David Liptak. He's a faculty member at Eastman. So being able to make choices about who we can work with and who to invite to be part of our process. Last year's Fringe, we worked with Dave Ravello Ensemble, which was a 12-person jazz ensemble. That was pretty exciting. A couple years ago, we worked with Michael Burritt's Eastman Percussion Ensemble. So it's really about choice making, which in many ways is the same thing being a choreographer is. It's about making choices about the kinds of movement, the kinds of people you're working with, and how you're putting things together, what the trajectory of the piece would be. Right, so sometimes you make a piece about something, and sometimes you just make a dance and work on it in from a design framework.
Now, those shows you talked about, you have one in March and you have one coming up this summer. Are those open to the public? How do people go about seeing these?
Absolutely. So in March, on March 6th, it's a Sunday at 4:30 p.m., the concert is called Tripping the Light Fantastic, and it's part of the Eastman School of Music's Centennial celebration. It's free and open to the public. And Kodak Hall is huge. It has 1,000 seats or so. So
wow.
Lots of space for social distancing, if that's still necessary, which it probably will be in a month.
Yeah.
But tickets are free, so you don't need to get them in advance. You just show up.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Now, you also work for the University of Rochester.
I do.
What are your roles there? What kind of events do you do there, or if you do events? Just tell me a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So I direct the program of dance and movement. We have a major program with two different majors in dance and two minors, and one in dance and one in movement studies. And I've been doing that for a little over a decade now. And for the past 4 years, I've been directing the Institute for Performing Arts. And that is an institute that is kind of an umbrella for dance, music, and theater on the River campus at U of R, and also includes collaboration with the Eastman School as well. So we do present guest artists. We present in-house shows that the students perform in. Faculty present work and collaborate with one another. Yeah, so there's a lot happening at U of R. I think people think of it as a science school, but we have a really vibrant arts community there.
That's beautiful.
Thanks.
I read something about you having community engaged courses as well. Can you explain further on what those are?
Absolutely. So I'm just now starting to teach this spring a new community engaged course called Dance and Interdependent Community. And so I'm working with my students to help them learn to facilitate community-based art experiences. And so we're working with Community Place, Aging Services, and the elders there. And I've worked with them through BioDance for over a decade. So I have a great relationship with the seniors there. And we dance in chairs and for limited mobility. We do lots of creative choice-making experiences. And we're also going to be working with another community of women who are in recovery or have previously been incarcerated.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so it's a great way for everyone to be learning something new. The students are learning about new communities, about how to teach and facilitate, and our community partners are learning about dance and what dance can offer them in terms of their own personal development and expression.
Definitely. I mean, dance is a great outlet.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it teaches us about collaboration, about team building, about listening, deep listening to one another, communication, right? All of these things that we need so much in our world these days.
Agreed.
But we have a number of community engaged classes in the program of dance and movement. My colleagues teach other courses such as arts and activism. We have a dance course called Dance, Change, and Community Practice, where the students work with high school students on issues that they care about and create different kinds of multidisciplinary arts and dance projects to help express that.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Another of my colleagues teaches a course called Moving Memories, where the students co-create pieces of choreography with elders that are based on stories that they share with one another.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
I mean, this is just like mind-boggling creative.
Yeah, and we're interested in being part of the community that we live in, right? And so it's a way of helping to teach citizenship and cultural competency and be a good person in the world.
100%. It sounds like it. So, you know, Biodance is a nonprofit company. Do you guys have a need for volunteers, a need for donations? You know, how do you guys exercise your nonprofitness, I guess I could say?
Right. We certainly welcome donations. We have a website, biodance.org. And we do sometimes have volunteers when we're in performance seasons in terms of it depends on what we're doing. If we're doing these outdoor shows, we might need help setting up the parameters of where our space is.
Yeah.
Helping at the box office and house and that sort of thing. If someone really wanted to volunteer to create or be a seamstress to sew costumes, that would be fantastic.
Okay.
I work with a designer regularly, but, you know, creating all the costumes and designing all the costumes are two different things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
but
if anyone listening...
But as a nonprofit, we're also, you know, we're writing grants and we're part of that process.
So if anyone listening right now wanted to help you out with any of those volunteer opportunities, how would they go about reaching out to you?
They can go straight to our website and send an email, or they can send an email to biodance@frontiernet.net.
Perfect. Missy, is there anything else that you would like to add today?
No, just that I hope people will join us on Sunday, March 6th at 4:30 p.m. for the Tripping the Light Fantastic with Cordancia Chamber Orchestra. And we're really excited to share two new works during that show. And we've been working really hard, and it's tricky during a pandemic because, you know, if someone's been exposed, someone's not here. So, you know, it's a long road, but people are so passionate about doing it. And so we're really excited to get to the point where we can share the work.
Go see them March 6th, Biodance, at the Kodak Hall at Eastman Theater. That is Missy Fullsmith. She is the artistic director and choreographer at Biodance. I'm Ray G, and this is Rochester Speaks. Thank you so much, Missy.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.